Luke chapter 2, verse 25, and verse 29, and verses 36 through 38. This is the reading of God's Word. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Verse 29, Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. Verse 36, And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of Him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. And through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have a marvelous fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, your word. We pray by your grace will be preached correctly and that all of us will be blessed by it. And let us not only understand and believe, but also obey. Let us live for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in the latter verses of Luke chapter 2, we meet two people who are righteous, who were righteous and devout Christians. And when we read about them in the Bible, the desire to live a righteous and devout Christian life fills our hearts. We do want to live a life that is pleasing to our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we have become righteous in God's sight through our faith in Jesus Christ. And as the sons of God who have been called righteous, we desire to live a righteous life through faith. But the question is how? How can we live a righteous life? What does the Bible tell us? And what does the righteous life look like according to the Bible? Well, the first, Simeon, one of the two righteous people we meet in our chapter, the Bible says that he was righteous and devout. So then how did he live? Well, he lived his life in terms of looking for the consolation of Israel. He was looking for the coming of the Messiah. He knows that the consolation of Israel is accomplished only by the Messiah. As Isaiah 40 tells us, it is when Israel's iniquities are removed and her salvation is accomplished. Only the Messiah will accomplish all these things. We also, in our passage, meet Anna. She was looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. The time for the redemption of Jerusalem is the same time for the consolation of Israel. And it is the same time of the coming of the Messiah because the Messiah alone is able to accomplish all that. And in Luke chapter 23, we meet Joseph. And the Bible says he was, according to the Bible, a good and righteous man. Then how did he live? Well, Luke chapter 23 tells us that he lived his life in terms of waiting for the kingdom of God. All three were looking for the same thing. The Messiah brings the kingdom of God. All three were waiting for the kingdom of God. In terms of what our church says all the time, they were looking for heaven. Of course, there is a little difference between these three people and us who are living after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we have seen many times Jesus Christ, the Messiah, accomplishes God's kingdom in two stages. And the difference between these three people and us is because of that fact. Christ accomplishes God's kingdom spiritually in His first coming, and at the second coming, all that He has accomplished will be visibly consummated. So you and I are waiting for that visible confirmation, but these three people were waiting for His first coming. Nevertheless, we, just like Simeon, Anna, and Joseph, live with the hope of the kingdom of God, hope of heaven. This is what the Bible teaches us. We must live with the hope of heaven. That is what God says, what we must do to be able to live a righteous life. Do not understand Bible in the way that the world understand their knowledge. Because if you ask yourself, how can I live a righteous life? You're going to focus on the righteous life itself, what you should do, what you shouldn't do. That's how world attacks their moral problem. They will tell you, like, do not lie. Lying is bad. So the focus is on lying. Lie itself. But that's a worldly method. It will never work for Christians. What does Bible say? Well, Bible says you need to live your life with hope of heaven. And when we say like this, the world will never understand, how can I be able to live a righteous life when I focus on heaven? But that's what the Bible tells us. Let me show you a few verses. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when God, Jesus, appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. This is our hope. Hope of heaven, that when we see our Lord Jesus Christ, we will be like Him. And the next verse says, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, and everyone who has this hope fixed on Him, Jesus, purifies himself, just as Jesus is pure. The way to have Christians, you, purify themselves, purify yourself, the way to have you purify yourself, the Bible says, give them this hope, hope of heaven, in which you're going to be just like Christ. God says, anyone who has that hope will purify himself. God promises that Christian who has this hope will purify himself. And if you want to live that pure life, then hope in heaven. This is God's way. This is why non-Christian will never be able to live that righteous life. Righteous according to God, not according to the standard of this world. And if you never focus on heaven, because all you see all throughout the week is about this world and affairs of this world, then this promise, it doesn't even apply to you. And if any promise of God doesn't apply to you because you don't live according to the Bible, that's sad. That's truly sad. the hope of Jesus' return. And at that time, how we'll be just like Him. The Bible promises that those people with that hope will purify themselves. They will live a righteous life by faith. Guaranteed by the Bible. Yeah, it's not going to be overnight, but as you keep on living that life, you will purify yourself. You ask yourself, how come I'm like this? How come I don't live that righteous life? I am Christian. I have faith. How come? Well, you don't focus on heaven. Maybe your whole focus is on this world and affairs of this world. One other verse, Colossians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of the truth, the gospel. According to these two verses, as Apostle Paul writes this letter to Colossian church, Colossian congregation does two things right. Their faith in Jesus Christ and the love they have for all the saints. So, faith and love. This is what we want in our lives. But verse 5 says, that faith and love they have are because of the hope laid up for them in heaven. How could they live this life of faith and love? Because their hope laid up upon heaven. This is what the Bible says. Again, the heavenly hope is what is needed. So if you want to live by faith and love, you must have the hope of heaven. This is what the Bible says. That is God's method. The world will never understand this, but this is what the Bible says. And you must do what the Bible says. So if you just focus on the affairs of this world, you will never be able to live that righteous life. But coming of the kingdom of God is also the destruction of this sinful world. So having hope of heaven, necessarily, you also will have faith that this world will be destroyed. The 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 through 13. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. This passage tells us what would cause our motivation to live in holy conduct and godliness. That motivation, it says, is the coming of Jesus Christ. This world will be destroyed by heating, burning, but God's promise is the new heavens and new earth. The heavens will be visibly consummated. Since, he argues, all these things are to be destroyed in this way, then what sort of people ought you to be, considering His coming and the destruction of this whole universe that will motivate you to live that godly life? Again, we must live with the hope of heaven, hope of His second coming. But when you hope heaven, you are also hoping the destruction of this world. Because eternally, heaven and hell, they cannot coexist. I mean, heaven and not hell, heaven and this world. This world has to be passed away. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, I therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Setting your mind on things that are on earth ruins our righteous life. It ruins our life of faith and love. In Mark chapter 4, we see a parable of the sower. The seed is the word of God. And let me read to you Mark chapter 4, verse 16 through 19. It tells us why people fail to live this righteous life. Mark chapter 4, verse 16. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. We meet two different kinds of people, but result is the same. But both, I wish that you heard it. They both heard the word. They are churchgoers. They hear the word, and yet they fail. Why? Because the worries of this world and deceitfulness of the riches and the desire for all these worldly things, they come into his life and choke the word, and it's unfruitful. Hear what the Bible says. Don't wonder why, if I'm a Christian, I live this way. Don't wonder, the Bible tells you why. Because your focus is not on God and His kingdom. Your focus is on this world. Don't worry about the worldly things. God says, don't worry about it. And if you need help, come to church. Together, we'll work this thing out. We'll work it out. But clearly it says, when affliction and persecution arises in this world because of the word, immediately they fall away. So you try to live according to the word, but because you try to live according to the word, difficult time comes. And they just forget it. They give up. And the worries of the world. Do you worry about the things of this world? God says the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Somehow if you have so much money, things will work out. It doesn't. You know how many rich people, they have so many problems? I mean, if money solves every problem, why would rich people kill themselves? If that is so. It doesn't. It's deceitful. But that's how we think. You know, I'm including in that group. I'm same sinner as you. And we feel like, oh, if I have certain amount of money, you know, I will have no problem. Think again. That's not what the Bible says. And these things actually, it says that these things enter into that person's life and choke the word. And you might ask yourself, how can the powerful word be choked by these worldly worries? But that's what the Bible says. It chokes it. And you will be unfruitful. But see, I'm saying this thing in pretense. Because you are not these kind of people. These verses are describing non-Christians. But I want you to have this opportunity to ask yourself, am I live as unchristian? Am I live like unchristian, non-Christian? Ask yourself. Because that's not you. Because this parable of sword, there's four examples, and first three are examples of non-Christians. Only the last one is true Christian. But Christians sometimes forget who they are and live like a non-Christian. And we're going to talk about being waking up from that dead state. We need to wake up. They set their minds on the things of this world. They do not live with the hope of heaven. That hope of heaven doesn't occupy their whole life. They're just reminded when they come to church, but Monday through Saturday, all they think about is this world. I mean, think about it. If that's how you live, how can you be able to live this righteous life? And the Bible tells you how it could fix this. Philippians chapter 3 verse 19 tells us of the enemy of the cross. They set their minds on earthly things, it says. The enemy of the cross set their minds on earthly things. 1 John chapter 4 verse 5, they are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world and the world listens to them. This world is everything to them. Christians cannot live like that. Because we have our citizenship in heaven. Our loving husband is waiting for us in heaven. See, you and I, we are different. We live by faith. We live with the hope of heaven. By faith, we participate in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It says, this verse says, Jesus endured the cross. And we want to do that too. How did he do that? Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. What made Jesus endure the cross? It says, for the joy set before him. I mean, think about it. At the time of Jesus dying on the cross, that's the end of his life. What joy set before him? Is the Bible talking about what joy was set before him if it is not heavenly joy? So for the heavenly joy, Jesus endured the cross. Yes, your life is hard. But like I promise you, I will never feel sorry for you. I don't care what you tell me, I will not feel sorry for you because you're a Christian. Because you're a son of God and you are a citizen of heaven, there's no way for me to feel sorry for you. Yes, it is hard. But Jesus was able to endure the cross for the joy of heaven. How else can we endure our cross in this world if it is not for the joy of heaven? If that's how Jesus did it, how else can we do it? But that joy of heaven doesn't move you. You don't even think about it. It doesn't even enter your thought. Then how? And your thought is just filled with the worldly worries, worldly things. It was joy of heaven for Jesus, where He will live with those whom He is dying for. And we must look at the joy of heaven also to endure our crosses. Oh, Christian life is very hard. Especially if you try everything according to the Word, and if you try to show everyone around you that you are a true Christian, oh, it is very, very hard. But for those who live with the hope of heaven, the sufferings themselves will make them have more of the hope of heaven. So if you focus on heaven, the sufferings will actually make you think more of heaven. But that's when you have focus on heaven. You know, we saw this very recently, so I will just read it to you really fast, but let us review. And as we review, let me remind you of what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is safeguard for you. To say the same thing is never trouble for me. Those who are living with the hope of heaven, Jesus says that those are the ones who are awake. Those who do not have the hope of heaven, who has no interest in heaven, they are asleep, according to Jesus. They are spiritually dead. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus' letter to the church of Sardis, Revelation 3, verse 1 through 2, I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember that you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Remember, this is Jesus' letter to a church. He says this to a church. God tells them to wake up, and He tells us to wake up. So all these parables, and you heard in your life, many of these parables, how master is away, how husband is away, how, you know, owner is away, and you are servant, you are his wife, or you are virgin waiting for the husband. And they have to live their lives in terms of waiting for the master, waiting for the husband. You heard these parables. And it's about the topic that we are talking about today. And if those people who are waiting for this master or owner, if their focus is not about waiting for that master, then they will found sleeping when that master comes. Just like it, if you do not focus on the return of Jesus Christ, if you do not live your life in terms of waiting for the Messiah, waiting for Jesus Christ, then you are sleeping. I don't care how actively you live your life. I don't care you tell me, you know, I have to work so many hours, but you are sleeping. Sleeping. Spiritually. And God says to wake up. Or be on the alert. Why? It is like a man away on a journey who upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. Be on the alert. What must be our focus as we live our lives as a Christian? It must be return of our Lord Jesus Christ. You gotta go to the Bible. Don't even listen to anybody who says, oh, this is a good Christian, and you're pointing, they point to some people, oh, they're Christian, good. But unless he lives according to the Bible, he's not a good Christian. Because those things that he's doing, even non-Christians are doing. Feeding the hunger, you know, helping the poor. Non-Christians do that. That's not how God judges good Christian. It's a Christian who lives in terms of waiting for his true husband, Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Apostle Peter describes the life that is lived as the dead, meaning focusing on the things of this world. He says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns his own vomit. And so, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire. A dog returns to its vomit, and washed pig returns to the mud. You get the picture. God gives you this verse to have that picture. Dog going to its own vomit. That's what Christian going back to the world is exactly what it is. We who are saved out of this world cannot return to this world. We have already come out of Egypt. And only direction we go is to the promised land. We do not go back to Egypt. And guess what? These Israelites who came out of Egypt, instead of their having focus on the promised land, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to the world. You cannot do that. Your focus should be on one direction, toward Jesus Christ who is coming back for you. Yes, the world will mock this kind of life. Oh yeah, definitely. They're going to laugh at you if you tell them that you live that way. But Jesus was mocked. God even says that if you want to live according to the Bible, you will be persecuted. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we live with the hope of heaven. We live our lives in terms of preparing for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We look for the visible consummation of heaven. Brothers and sisters, let us examine ourselves. Do we just have the name that we are alive, but we live our lives as if we are spiritually dead? No, we are the opposite in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9b says, people will see us as dying, yet behold, we live forever. We are awakened in Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 to 6. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. Right? Darkness meaning you sleep. See, he's using, when dark, that's time for sleep. So the children of darkness, they're sleeping. But God says, you are not, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief, the day that Jesus is coming. It will not overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. God will continue to pour out His grace upon us. Titus chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how we live. This is the Christian life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I said that too many times, so I will move on. Romans chapter 8, verse 17b through 18, if indeed we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which is to be revealed to us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13 and 14, so let us go out to Jesus Christ outside the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Seeking heaven is to seek Jesus Christ. Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6, I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. I mean, you could picture watchman. He's responsible for watching for the whole city if an enemy is coming or what. But I'm sure, like, he does that for many, many days. He just want to go home. And as morning comes, they say, oh, time to go home. And hopefully he doesn't do that, but we wait for our Lord Jesus Christ much more than the watchman waiting for the morning. This is the description of your life and my life. And if your life doesn't fit this description, then there's something wrong with you, not wrong with His word. You need to change. I need to change. You and I, just like Simeon, Anna, and Joseph, all of us, we live by the same faith, seeking Jesus Christ and His kingdom. See, that's why Simeon was called righteous. And the description, we don't have that many descriptions of Simeon, but he was waiting for the Messiah, the consolation of Israel. Anna, she was righteous. We don't have much description of her life, but she was looking for the redemption of Israel. She was waiting for the Messiah. She was waiting for the kingdom of God. And Joseph, he was righteous, not much descriptions, but he was looking for the kingdom of God. Hear what the Bible says. And you wonder, if you are wondering, what is righteous life and how can I live that righteous life? God tells you. Just obey. Because that's what Christians do. We obey God's word. Now, this world will have all kinds of different meaning of righteous life and worldly life and whatever. But we do not listen to this world. God has given you so much. Pour out His grace. He gave Himself and His kingdom as your inheritance. No feeling sorry for you. No matter how hard your life might be. Because you are so blessed. And God has already given you everything you need to live this godly life. It's not impossible to live this life. Actually, it's so natural for you to live this life because God has already given you everything you need to do this. It's just that you don't believe. And because you don't believe, your focus is on the wrong place. It has to be Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Let us live this life. And let us help one another to live this life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for giving us the truth, that we may know the truth and that we may be set free from this world and sin. Oh Father, we do desire to live a righteous life. Fill our hearts with that faith, the hope of heaven, that we may live our lives in terms of preparing for Your Son's return, so that we may be with Him forever and ever in that glorious place. We thank You, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.